Hi, what's Gucci, freak bitches? My name's Opie. I'm here with Anthony, my co-host. You're listening to Opie and Anthony.
And Jim.
Jim Norton.
Wait. Anthony,
which one got canceled?
Anthony.
Wait, where are you, Rod?
Oh, am I not?
Oh, there you are.
He not only got canceled, I for some reason was like, what's he up to now? And then he's like,
he's doing great.
He's so racist. Like, he's not like, he wasn't like accidentally racist. He's like actively like anti-black. It's wild.
And he's doing incredibly well.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
He's like, he does YouTube show now.
I don't know if it's YouTube.
It's
or
like a, it's he, like he a created website. His own paywall. For, yeah. It's like
for all the other
crazy,
races.
Dude. That's crazy, yeah. Anywho, gang, welcome to the Opie and Anthony. on SiriusXM. Glad to have Jim Norton here. He has a new album called fucking Order.
It is called Doomsinger, though.
Oh, yeah, it's still called Doomsinger.
It's called Doomsinger. It's a new album from Jim Norton, Doomsinger. Yeah. You know, David Spade had a comedy special called My Fake Problems, and I used to be in a band called
band.
Fake Problems.
Yeah.
And I was like, and at the time we were an active band, and I was like, what the hell?
And then Rod used to be a subscriber to Compound Media, which is Anthony's new thing. I don't know what that has to do. I needed to say it.
Yeah, just let him know.
Doesn't have to do anything with what you said.
Yeah,
wanted to add on.
Yeah.
Anywho, so that comes out Friday.
Friday.
Guess what? Guess who you are? You're Mr. Billboard.
I got a billboard on Sunset and Park Man.
Yeah, right where I used to live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Beautiful Silver Lake.
Me too. Kind of.
2825 Marathon Street, if you guys want to
see the old place.
If you want to go there and try to kill me, too late.
What was my address? 610 North Golden Gate?
Yeah.
Avenue, maybe?
You were in San Francisco at the time.
I was in San Francisco.
Golden Gate, yeah.
Yeah.
What a big fuck up. I think I'm going to name this Golden Gate. Wait, where am I?
There's a Golden Gate in Naples, Florida as well.
What the hell?
You really can find stupid people everywhere.
Yeah.
Even in Naples, Florida?
It's San Francisco.
Seems unlikely.
It's San Francisco.
I know. They didn't patent it or something.
Yeah. Imagine. It's so funny. The one time I went to Naples, Florida, where you're from, mm-hmm. was with Jim Brewer.
Oh, yeah. You played at Captain.
I played in a tiny theater.
Right.
Or, I mean, I didn't play a gym. I mean, I pressed record on the camera.
Was it Captain Dangle's Ding Dong Shack or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. It was C
from Reno 911.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, I mean, I'll still say it. Cancel me, gang. But Jim was nice to me, so
sure.
Go ahead. Nice. Go for it.
Almost
gang.
Everybody's. Well, that's not true, but. A lot of people are very nice, even if they're awful mm-hmm. or have really bad.
You sound like Rod takes. When I caught him subscribing to Compound Media.
I'm like, hey, a lot of these people on Compound Media, a lot of the workers are very nice people.
Yeah, that is true.
What's Glenn Beck?
Yeah, but you didn't do anything to me. That's what I would say.
Right, exactly. He didn't anti-vax me.
I was already experimental.
Yeah.
That's too bad you didn't get to see him do his parrot joke live.
Dude, his stand-up at the time was just like just normal stand-up. It's just like he had, you know, family stuff and all that. And then now he talks about fucking Dr. Fauci, then acts like a dog for about 5 minutes. And you're like, what happened?
And he's five times probably bigger than he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here, gang? Politics are crazy if you literally think about it.
Yeah, true. For 1 second, yeah.
That's so true.
So you get the album coming out and you're excited. Do you have anything planned besides Billboard?
I've got the Billboard. We have some sort of like record store promotion where we're hiding little ghouls in the record store. And if you find it and bring it to the counter, they'll give you a... a copy of my album where I that I drew the cover art.
And when you're telling the record store employee, they go, "What game do you want me to play?"
Yeah, they go, "And I get paid more to do this, or I just have to fucking
I just play your little game and I don't get anything.
And I just have to go along with this." Yeah, that's pretty much exactly right. Uh-huh.
Like, we're trying to bring people into the record store to search for the ghoul.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, trying to save independent music.
Exactly, yes. So what record stores are you doing this at, and where are you hiding them?
Permanent Records, Roadhouse.
Oh, that's a great place.
One of the Permanent Records. It says on my Instagram. Park Avenue CDs in Orlando.
Oh, beautiful.
They have vinyl. Okay. Don't worry.
They have CDs too, though, right?
I think. You know what? I hope so.
You know we have that on CD, right?
it's way smaller if you get the CD. Easier to carry around.
Yeah.
There is a place called End of an Ear, which I think is kind of a bad idea. Bad name for a record store. No shade, but right. It's just like calling out like hearing loss seems like a weird move.
Yeah.
Because you play your record so loud.
Yeah, because you play my specific record so loud that your eardrums are shattered. Right. Much like my experience in freaking Oppenheimer.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Dude, did I send you the photo of me at the screening?
No.
I'll just show it to you now.
It was loud. Did you see it IMAX?
I saw it 70 millimeter.
Is that IMAX?
It's smaller.
It's like, I thought it was bigger.
Maybe, I don't know. IMAX, when I was a kid, I was like, oh my God. This is the size of like in a fucking entire building, this screen.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about a big building too.
Yeah.
And now I go to an IMAX, I'm like, oh, this is a normal screen.
I think some of the IMAX have eyes.
Oh yeah.
I was like 3 feet away from the screen.
Yeah, truly Clay's feet are touching the screen.
And I was like 3 feet away from the speakers.
Yeah.
So you're shaking.
Yeah.
My experience with IMAX is it's too big.
Oh, simple.
Like, I'm, like, looking hard to the left, hard to the right. I'd like a movie experience where I don't have to move my neck constantly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You ever go to the Dome? Cinerama Dome?
Yeah.
That's how I felt in the Dome a lot.
Yeah.
Just kind of, like, looking around because it's too big.
Yeah.
I went to the last time I went to the Dome was, I've told this before, but the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Where most of the movie is just, like, 4x3.
Right.
And you're like, why do they have this here?
Yeah, yeah.
Why am I seeing this here?
Yeah, a giant square.
Well, it's all the visual information you don't need on either side.
Yeah,
you just have a white screen to left and right.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
So how many, so people either in Florida or California, are there any other record stores?
I mean, I could pull it up. Let's see. There's 10 record stores. Permanent Records in L.A., Park Avenue CDs in Orlando, 1234 Go in San Francisco,
classic.
Brick-a-Brac Records in Chicago,
right.
Criminal Records in Atlanta, Georgia, End of an Ear in Austin, Texas, and I love End of the Ear, Grimey's in Nashville.
Yummy.
Nasty.
I hope that's good. Long in the Tooth Records in Philadelphia. Rough Trade in NYC.
Classic. Oh, wow.
And Silver Platter Records in Seattle. So that I'm putting the people there to work.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to.
Listen, you got to play my little game.
Yeah.
You say, you're the employee and you have to hide this for me.
it's really inspired by Saw and Jigsaw's experiments on people.
And if you collect all these, it leads you to some crimes.
Right, exactly.
That you're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, and there's a key, and it's buried in your stomach, actually. You have to
dig
it out.
Yeah, that's nice. And you go on the road.
Yeah, go on the road August 29th is our first show in the UK.
It's a bit British, isn't it?
It is a bit British.
Are you playing all over the UK?
I'm playing all 8 cities, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sheffield.
Every single city.
Let me guess. All 8. Ready?
Okay.
Sheffield.
No.
One for one. Bruton?
No.
Not Bruton. Linden Beach.
No.
Right on Linden Beach. Yeah, that's no. That's a good spot.
Let me do one more. Hooselberg?
Hooselberg, yes.
No, not Hooselberg.
I think that sounds like that's in the Netherlands. Yeah. But that's fun.
Yeah.
You're not going to America?
I am going to America right after that. September 9th, my U.S. tour starts.
Oh, my God. When do you go? How long are you going to be away from home?
I leave to start rehearsal.
Okay.
August 19th, and right. I come back to L.A. to stay.
Right.
October 17th.
Right. That
night, wow.
That's sort of a scary.
Too long, you think?
Well, you're coming back at the wrong time.
Coming back at the wrong time because you want to relax. Because
of Halloween, yeah.
Because of Halloween. You want to relax, and you have ghastly ghouls and Frankenstein.
And everything's covered in fucking cobwebs, even restaurants.
Mm-hmm. You know what's covered in cobwebs?
Nasty.
Yeah.
You know what's covered in cobwebs?
What?
My fucking house.
Really?
I go from one room to another room, and I'm like, have cobwebs on me.
Honestly, I think it's spider season or something, because we had a spider in our kitchen, and I would walk through, and then all of a sudden I have like a little bit of a string on me.
Yeah. What is this, haunted mansion?
Yeah.
That's advertiser for Haunted Mansion.
Probably.
Much like you hide the marketing. Ghoul, they're hiding spiders everywhere. Disney has more money, so they could do...
they can hide spiders in people's kitchens.
Have you done the Haunted Mansion?
That's the one where you sit and somebody's sitting next to you in the mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah, I when I was a kid, yeah.
I love that thing.
You like it? It's definitely, I think, the best song of any songs in Disney.
What's the song?
It's like one of those.
Yeah. The scariest song.
It's one of the scariest songs I've ever heard.
Your heart's pumping when you hear that.
Do we have plans to see this movie? The Haunted? Is that out yet?
It came out last week.
Who's in it? Boy. Eddie Murphy?
No, that's the old Haunted Mansion.
Oh.
There's an old one.
Who's in the new one?
Lakeith Stanfield. Yeah. Owen Wilson's in it.
Oh yeah,
Danny DeVito's in it.
Danny DeVito's in it.
But it's probably G rated, right? Or PG?
It's probably PG. Yeah. It does have a huge cast, but for some reason nobody wanted to promote a movie.
For some reason. It's G except for one. One point, Danny DeVito calls the ghost a bitch. I think. Like, we can't cut around this.
So. And it's still G, but it says that in the description. It's G, but at one point.
Oh, stop, bitch.
They're like, it's just too good. We can't cut it.
Yeah.
You know what's great about this, your promotional tour?
Uh-huh.
Somehow I got wrapped up in it.
You really did. I'm sorry.
That
you had to wake up early.
No, I mean, it's fine.
Give me a ride.
I mean, I actually enjoyed myself, but it is a little stressful beforehand. I got an email saying that they wanted me to do a Hollywood Handbook with Chris.
Yeah.
I go, you know, I'm not in the band, right? But listen, they were great. It's nice.
That was my thought too.
Yeah.
I didn't say, hey, me and Clay want to do the show.
Wait, they just asked Clay?
I think what happened is they thought, was Chris good last time? Not quite.
Oh, so my last appearance? Not good either.
Maybe they were like, all right, so we know that Chris and Clay can't carry an episode on their own. so let's get them both together so we don't have to talk to them for another few years.
Yeah. That's good.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah. Huh? And is that like a main Hollywood Handbook?
No.
Are you kidding me? No.
It's not?
That's Patreon, baby.
Yeah, dude. Who do you think I am? Chris Pratt? Yeah. No, I got it on the pro one.
Sorry, gang.
How much money are you making on this? And they told me, and they showed me like bank statements.
They showed you all the different statements.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
We might get, I wonder, last time I did it, I got paid.
So what the hell?
I wonder if maybe like, you know,
a payment cycle goes by and they
Q2 comes around or whatever, we'll get it.
I've never been paid to do a podcast.
They have to split $50.
Right.
Yeah, they have to find out how well the episode did,
right.
And then
it's based on how many comments they get on the Patreon post.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, so that was fun. It was a good time. Do you have any appearances that you're about to do? Like big appearances that you want to... Are you doing like a morning show somewhere?
I'm doing the Apple TV morning show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
What the fuck?
Oh, the TV show.
That's an episode of TV.
Yeah, I'm just a guest.
What the hell?
I'm just a guest.
Have you ever done a morning show?
No.
What the hell?
You ever do like any kind of like college radio?
Yeah, like interview on college radio?
Yeah,
I have done that.
What about you? I'm going to get you. If you don't mind, I'm going to start booking you on morning TV.
That'd be great.
I feel like you'd do great on
that. I would love to. I'm in.
Does Naples not have a little...
No, they did.
Uh-huh. And they just...
Actually, I just saw some of my old favorite newscasters on, I think it was, Jared from Subway documentary.
No.
And it was just like clips of them talking about it because I guess... Maybe when he got a, he lived kind
he
of
went to Florida
somewhere.
Or something.
Yeah, he was within their newscasting jurisdiction or something. And I was like,
right.
Patrick Nolan, Krista Vogelsong.
Whoa,
yeah,
Channel 6's news team. No way.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. I feel like I've seen mine on TV too. Mine were from Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were in a movie for something. Oh, I think it was just like they're always in the documentaries about the hurricanes.
Sure.
And that's when I see them. Yeah, and I go, what are you fuckers doing here?
Yeah, how'd you get out?
How'd you get out? The hell? Yeah. So, any new gang. You see all the movies?
I saw Barbie. I saw Oppenheimer. I saw Talk to Me. I saw Mission Impossible.
You saw Talk to Me?
Wait, which one's Talk to Me?
Talk to Me is these like Australian YouTubers made a horror movie that looks pretty good.
It is good.
Oh.
And it's like one of those A24, you know, horror movies for smart people.
Yeah. Oh, I love those.
You know, some horror movies are mainly for like, you know, what I would call dumbasses.
Mm-hmm.
They changed that.
They changed it. A24 is changing that because now. Was it good?
I liked it. I liked it better than Oppenheimer.
What the hell?
Yeah.
You didn't like the Oppenheimer where it was like a movie trailer for about 3 hours where it's just...
It was like Elvis.
Endless cutting.
Exactly like the Elvis movie for like 2 hours. I thought the best part of Oppenheimer was the last hour where it's just like them in a room.
That's talking. People's least favorite.
That's interesting.
That's what I like. I
gotta be honest. I love the Elvis movie.
I know a lot of people who really like
I like the Elvis movie.
I didn't really connect to it, but I know a lot of people who I love and respect who like the Elvis movie.
I like the Elvis movie. And what can I say? I was won over. The Christmas special part of that movie, I was in. I don't know what was going on.
I mean, from the start, when it was like, how is this movie going to keep up this pace for 3 hours or whatever? And then it somehow does it. Yeah. You're like, I got to give it up.
Yeah.
I made this joke before, but when they were having the meeting, he's going to meet those like TV producers. He goes, you want to have a meeting? All right, cool. 12 o'clock. What do you think? The O in the Hollywood sign? And that's where they met. That's crazy. Wait, what do you say?
Yeah, that's filmmaking. That's good stuff.
That's how it goes, baby.
The first O in Hollywood sign. Go ahead. I'll be sitting in the O. Yeah. That's cool. I like that movie. I did like Oppenheimer, too.
I liked Oppenheimer.
I liked when the boys got together to make a bomb. I liked that. I just didn't like the cutting.
I didn't like the way it was structured for the first like 2 hours was kind of annoying to me. And like the score was like, Jesus Christ. Maybe it was just because of IMAX, but it was like, let's settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like not every single moment can be this dramatic.
Oh. I wish they... Remember they shut up for a second when the bomb was going off? Spoilers,
that was nice.
Gang. That was really nice.
That was cool. And genuinely the best scene to me was when he's giving his little speech to everybody and it's quiet.
Everyone's fucking hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
And he's freaking out.
He's like, we killed all the Japanese people! and you can see him kind of like wrestling with it in his eye behind his beautiful blues.
Yeah. And you did the thing where you saw Barbie in the morning, Oppenheimer in the afternoon and The Sound of Freedom at night.
That's right. Yeah.
You get all three.
Yeah. Barbenheim eat them.
Now, did you pay for Sound of Freedom, or you get a free ticket?
I asked if I could pay double to support the cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is Sound of Freedom a documentary or a narrative?
It's a narrative.
It's a narrative.
About a thing that's that happened.
Sure.
Which I don't know what it is, but it's something. So, the Clinton News Network, they're freaking out about it. Right. But, you know, us normal people, we're just here for the cinema.
Right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you did that, and you saw the fucking Talk to Me movie.
Mm-hmm.
Rank them. I dare you to rank them.
Of my favorites, or of my least favorite to favorite, of of those, and Mission Impossible.
Yes. And Mission Impossible.
Oh, my God.
I would say at number 4 is Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Number 3 is Talk to Me.
Okay.
Number 2 is Mission Impossible. Number 1 is Barbie. Okay. I liked Barbie.
Oh, Barbie
Did
man.
Did you like Barbie?
I didn't.
I figured you would.
It was like a really long Super Bowl commercial. It was kind of a joke. Like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Ryan Gosling, so funny.
So funny. I thought there was just a lot of really effective jokes.
Margot Robbie, I don't know how you pulled it off, but you did it.
Yeah.
It's just, that's a hard thing to do.
Totally.
I
mean,
so.
you were so spot on with your Letterboxd review about the car thing. It's like, they don't make the car look that new.
Also, it's just like, you're already selling toys. Let's stop there. We have to sell a car, too.
Yeah, totally.
And the car had an orange fucking seatbelt. That bugged me.
You don't like that?
I didn't notice that. It brought so much attention to itself because it was just like, all right, we get it. The car's weird. I don't want to fucking buy the Chevy.
Wait, what kind of car is it?
It's a Chevy. Here's what's weird. I had to look it up in my review to see exactly what it is. But, Rod, I'm going to tell you what the name of this new car that they're trying to show you or sell you. And you tell me if there's anything weird with the name. And just, you know, if anything sounds weird,
okay.
Just let me know. It's called the 2024 Chevy Blazer EV SS.
SS.
What's the SS? It's the SS?
Probably like Super Speed or something, but we know better now.
Yeah, you just don't.
That was another thing about the Barbie movie. There was a scene where there's two guys with Ks on their jumpsuits and other guys with Ks like kind of like flirting with the idea of standing next to them.
Right.
And I was like,
we should make a Shining, like that documentary about the room 227 or whatever.
Yeah.
We should make a movie like that for Barbie.
For Barbie, yeah.
Yeah.
That's smart.
And our thing is like, I just noticed the craziest thing in Barbie. I think the future electric vehicles are here to stay with this new Chevy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but there really is, that's like a good ad in the new Barbie movie. I love.
It's just like the most, like, aggressively, like, you can feel the, like, product supervisor on set.
Yeah.
In the
shots. And, like, mm-hmm. They were very happy to, like, whatever you want. Hey, fuck it. You can direct it for a bit. Because it was, like, there's a whole segment where there's a car chase. And you're like, all right, I've seen the Chevy logo enough times.
It's crazy.
Chevy chasing Chevy.
In the beginning of...
Chevy on Chevy crime.
In the beginning of Batman vs. Superman, there's a really good product placement for like the new Jeep like Renegade or whatever.
Oh, right.
Where it's like just driving through the town, normal like kind of car commercial stuff.
Yeah.
Love it.
Beautiful. Yeah. We love that in our
movie. Well, if I had to give Barbie a rating, like legitimate, give it a rating, 10 out of 10.
Wow.
I couldn't think of a better score to give this movie.
That's actually the best score you can give a movie.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets.
It's genuinely a funny movie. And, what was your thoughts about the part where anytime an old lady's on screen, what's your thoughts there?
What do they do?
The first one was she sits down at the bus stop. She goes, wait a minute, you're beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous. Wait a second, I thought you were a fucking disgusting old lady, but you're actually beautiful. There's value to you.
That's a powerful message from the Barbie movie.
Very nice. And then the rest of the old ladies were the was the person who invented Barbie.
Right.
And she came in about three too many times.
Yeah, yeah.
Who plays the person who invented Barbie?
Rhea Perlman.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, speaking of Danny DeVito.
Uh-huh. That's actually really fun for me.
So, and yeah. I just couldn't figure out for the life of me, what were y'all trying to, why is she in the movie so much?
I haven't seen the movie. Is she mean in the movie?
No.
Because that's some of the funniest stuff was when she's really mean. Nice. No. I'd like her to be a little bit mean.
She's probably the nicest person in the movie.
She seems like the nicest person in the world.
Yeah.
But she's really funny at being mean.
Yeah. Well, they didn't let her cook.
They didn't let her cook. So,
how many more months of "let him cook" do you think we have in our lexicon?
So many. I'm still saying it.
Yeah,
I'm still.
I think it's here to stay.
Really?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Remember when she's running through the building and she enters a random door and it's the house of the Barbie creator? What's going on?
She's a ghost. As Will Ferrell later says, he says, her ghost keeps an office on the 18th floor or something like that.
I don't know what's going
on. It's a very
movie.
Heightened. even the real world in the Barbie movie is a heightened reality.
So the Barbie doesn't live in the real world?
No, Barbie lives in Barbie land.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Come on, man.
Jesus Christ. And there's all these Barbies and Kens. They're all Barbie and Ken?
Yeah. Yeah. And Barbies rule the world, and Kens are in this place of where women are in our world.
That's right. Powerful to think about.
You know what my favorite part of the whole movie is? And this says something bad about me, but remember, I am Opie from Opie and Anthony.
Right, right.
So it's just this all tracks. My favorite part of the movie is when Ken goes into the Century City Mall or something and sees like this patriotic video.
Oh, yeah.
Give me chills.
That was very funny. It was very, very funny.
All the presidents, they're all guys, and the American flag and the horses.
You guys ever, speaking of Halloween and Barbie and Ryan Gosling, you guys ever hear Ryan Gosling's Halloween album?
Wait, what?
You think I'm at my house trying to scare myself?
He made a record that came out probably like 2000.
Yeah, it's called The Dead Man's Bones
Dead Man's Bones. It came out in like 2008 or 9, and it's like... Halloween music.
Yeah, I remember like he was playing like FYF or something, some festival that we went to, and we were like, "Oh, we love the movie Half Nelson."
Oh yeah, great movie.
We were like, "Let's check it out." I just remember fucking a lot of kids being on stage.
Because he had like a kids choir. Yeah,
and I go, "I don't like this."
Yeah,
I don't like your spooky music with a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
well, the kids make it extra spooky,
right?
Nothing spookier than kids.
Very true.
He's also in an episode of Goosebumps, right?
Is he? As a child?
As a child actor.
Nice.
Yeah, but hey, listen. Still, with your spooky music, I still love you, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that Ryan Gosling. And I think he's incredible in this movie.
Yeah, he's great. He's so funny.
Yeah.
So. Does it hurt, do you think, to look like that? Like, hurt? It looks like it hurts to be
that
strong.
Is that real?
I think it's real.
His abs? Because he was just like, he was like acting and moving around. And I'm like, don't you have to like flex to hold those abs?
Yeah,
Are you flexing
know.
The whole time?
Maybe there's like some prep you do right before you start shooting to get it right.
They
there.
Have to contour a little bit.
Right.
Maybe they got to oil him up
He's
for sure.
He's definitely all oiled up.
Yeah, they got to oil him up.
I mean, the performances in this movie, I don't know how you did it. Top notch.
Yeah.
Top notch. But yeah, Rod, what do you give the movie?
I mean, I haven't seen it, but I absolutely give it a 10 out of 10. It's a perfect
film. Well, you're a Chevy man.
I hear there's a Chevy in this movie.
I know that.
A Chevy Blazer, and I love a Chevy Blazer.
SS.
And SS, which we know you love.
I don't love that part.
I give it 10 out of 10 as well.
Yeah.
And I give Oppenheimer 10 out of 10. I give Talk to Me 10 out of 10. Yeah. I give Mission Impossible 10 out of 10.
Right. Damn, what a great...
If Tom Cruise said, do you want to be a Scientologist? I would go, Tom, all right.
You got
fine,
it. Hey, okay,
but it seems really weird and probably bad, but I just love you so much.
Where did you put that in the ranking? Number two?
Two, yeah.
Okay. I do want to say something about Mission Impossible, especially these newer ones. A lot of times they have the camera linger on somebody, and in my mind I'm like, am I supposed to know who this fucking is?
Yes.
Like, what are we doing? <You are. laughs>
Who directed this?
Christopher McQuarrie.
Oh, yeah.
His friend.
His friend.
Tom Cruise's friend.
That's like the only one he works with, though,
he
right?
He finds, you know, guys who aren't creeped out by him being a Scientologist and goes with it.
I wonder if it's a relationship, too, where he goes, you know, I'm going to call the shot sometimes. And
I think it is kind of like that. Like,
yeah, sure, I don't care. What do you think?
I think the way that Adam Sandler is supposedly on set, where he's essentially the director of all of his movies, but he just has people who can be the bad guy, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Tom Cruise says, we're actually going to run this stunt 5 more times. I know you said we got it the first time. We're going to do
it. But I didn't quite die on that one.
We're doing it again because I think it's fun.
Yeah. Now, with the Mission Impossible movie, did you know what the fuck was going on at any point in the movie?
And I don't even remember anything about
right,
it.
Right, okay.
Hey,
that's
worried.
My problem with the movie, but also I just saw Oppenheimer and I did like it. And
but you liked what happened. Historically.
I didn't know what the fuck happened. I just want to see Bob go boom.
Yeah. So. You don't really get that.
Right.
I didn't feel like I really got bomb go boom. You get like something like it, but it's still like it's very artistically rendered.
Right.
In a way that I felt
the whole thing
took
was he actually did
it.
Have bomb go boom.
Right.
And you didn't
And you don't even really get to see it.
Well, you don't see the actual bomb go boom kill people. You just see the test
it's
bomb.
It's a test bomb, yeah.
Right. You just see like the normal.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it killing people.
Yeah, right. If you want to see a bomb go boom, in the left-hand corner of Asteroid City, there's a bomb that goes boom.
That is true.
During that movie.
And you saw that, too.
I did see that.
What's your thoughts on that?
10 out of 10. I didn't really like it. It kind of just washed over me like nothing. It was so beautiful, so technically impressive, but it was...
And you're like,
I felt like I... That they were speaking a language that I didn't speak.
Right.
Kind of.
It's kind of more fun, honestly.
Young Sheldon?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. I was like, why is everyone talking like Young Sheldon?
Yeah.
Everyone talks like so matter-of-factly and in such a stunted way.
Yeah. And that is progressively, like, each of his movies become more and more like deadpan and more like, what's that Greek guy's name who also does that? Yargo Marbler.
Yeah, or Yargo
Marbles. Yorgos Lanthimos?
Yeah, no, Yargo Marbles.
Yeah, Yargo Marbles. His movies are like that, too.
Yeah. But he's been doing that since day one. Weird little fuckers who just talk real in a stunted way.
Yeah.
But Wes Anderson, you've seen movies of his where people are lively and late.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So, and I'm like, let's go back to that for 2 seconds. And then you can go back.
Give me one movie like that.
Yeah, one more movie like that, please.
Yeah. Let's see what Owen Wilson's up to. See
please.
If his typewriter still works.
I don't want to go see Haunted Mansion. I want to see Haunted Wes Anderson.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we're all thinking.
What about a Wes Anderson? What if Wes Anderson did Star Wars? Everyone stop and just think about what that would be like.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's so interesting.
That is interesting.
That is really interesting.
Chewbacca looks different.
Yeah, it's and just, he's like in the middle of the screen or something.
He's clay.
Yeah.
He's
made out of clay. Actually.
He's definitely in the middle of the screen.
It's just Bob Balaban.
He's got his glasses on.
Wearing a sweater. Yeah.
Yeah, let's cast the Star Wars, the Wes Anderson Star Wars movie. So Bob Balaban. It's Chewbacca.
Now, who's Luke? Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson's Luke.
Easy.
No wonder people do this all the time. It's easy. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, now you can have AI do it.
Yeah.
Now, basically, AI can make the movie for you.
That's so true. That's exactly how it works.
And you know how they made that AI? Wes Anderson went to AI.com,
uh-huh.
and he wrote it out.
He wrote it out.
That's how it got that Wes Anderson touch to it. So that's great. You know what I liked about that movie, Asteroid City? The little fucking road runner at the end of the movie where he's doing a little dance.
Oh,
the
credits.
That's the part I enjoyed.
That's funny.
And also, like, the little alien guy. Spoilers.
Yeah, that was funny too.
I like the little alien guy. But when they break the fourth wall and they explain that this is also a play somehow, I'm like, literally shut up.
Yeah.
Stop.
Give me one layer. Why sign up for one layer?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get that deep.
Yeah. So, yeah, that movie. Ryan, you see that?
No.
What are you doing with your time?
I don't like movies.
I know. I had been looking for a new place to live.
Right.
I've been spending a lot of time doing that, looking at houses.
There's a protest at his place because they figured out he lived there.
That's what all the picketing has been about.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah. So, and I give, of course, Asteroid City easy 10 out of 10. Ryan, what do you give it?
An absolute 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Easy.
So good.
Oh, my guy Wes made another one. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Now, do you think he's ever been approached to make one of these toy movies?
I wonder. Has he ever done anything that is even remotely close to that?
Well, that Fox movie or something that was based on... That was based on something.
Right.
As a Roald Dahl book.
But that was, he was in control of that.
And that's 100% his thing.
Yeah, no one's approaching him. But, you know, these new Mattel movies are doing really good right now. And so Lena Dunham's doing.
Do you have a pitch, that. Clay?
Yeah. It's the fucking Uno cards.
Uh-huh.
From the Uno cards game.
And that's, you're going to direct it?
I'm going to direct it.
That's so smart.
Well, I'm going to get the gang together, which by that I mean all the Uno cards.
Uh-huh. So you got...
They're going to be in it.
You got reverse.
I got reverse.
Plus two.
Plus two, plus one.
Wild draw fours in there?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I got Wes Anderson attached to direct. Bob Balaban.
I'm directing
the whole... I'm like...
You're like an executive director.
Executive director is what we call in Hollywood. But then I approached him. Right. And,
who's Bob?
Oh, he's reverse.
Oh, wow. That's a great. That's a big role for him.
Everyone just stop. Let's just think about what this is going to be like. So, Wes Anderson directing a Uno card movie. Got it. Interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
Yeah. But that is legit. They're making a Uno card movie.
Oh, who is directing?
I don't know.
That can't be true.
Lena Dunham's doing Polly Pocket, which I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
That's for girls, and I'm actually a boy.
I know about G.I. Joe, Transformers. Right. I know about those.
Well, you know about Mighty Max.
Oh, yeah.
I know Mighty Max.
Is that not Mattel?
I don't know.
Which one isn't J.J. Abrams doing Hot Wheels or something like
that? Yeah, he's been announced for the Hot
Wheels. Is he good? Is anything he's made good? It just kind of dawned on me.
He's really good at making like a hype. He's like a good hype guy.
Yeah.
And then his movies are kind of like you instantly forget about him.
I loved Lost until the end of it. And now I can't even think about it, but. What else has he done? Super 8?
He did Super 8, and then he's done like a Star Wars movie or two.
Did he direct? He directed a Mission Impossible, right?
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 3?
Oh, that was his first movie. The first movie he's ever done was Mission Impossible 3.
Oh, and he did one of the worst Star Wars movies of all time.
Which was?
People say.
He did the last one.
Right.
Which was really bad.
Right. Yeah.
But he produced good stuff. Remember that 10 Cloverfield Lane movie?
He didn't direct Cloverfield. He just was a...
No, I think he gave it to someone.
He was just a producer on Cloverfield?
He was a producer.
He's really good at that hype machine.
Or maybe he directed it. I don't know.
I don't think he did. I think somebody... I was just looking at something.
Oh, wait, let me see.
The director just directed something else that I was interested in, maybe?
Oh, wait, you're not going to believe this. The director is Opie and Anthony.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
director
wow.
Duo.
You did it.
What the hell? That's literally unbelievable that's true. All right, directors. Wait.
Oh, Matt Reeves.
Matt Reeves.
The Batman. And Matt Reeves made those Planet of the Apes movies, and those are good, too, except for the first one.
Rude. Be nice to him. People worked hard on these movies.
Yeah, dude.
A 10 out of 10.
You know about this Cloverfield movie?
The first one?
The 10 Cloverfield
movie. I love them. That's
that movie. One's really good.
I heard.
John Goodman.
That movie, that was just like a script, and it had nothing to do with Cloverfield.
That tracks to me.
And they're like, I can't, how the fuck are we going to make this movie? And then they just, like, they were like, well, let's just, like, attach to fucking... I want to do that. I want to make a movie where it has something to do with something. I go, I don't know. One, you open the door at the end of the movie, and Batman's there.
Yeah.
You're like, where am I? Oh, Gotham City. What the hell?
This whole time? That's what they did with two movies I can think of off the top of my head. Dirty Dancing 2, Havana Nights, was just some, like, political thriller that some guy wrote, and then... through the studio system, it ended up being Dirty Dancing 2, Havana Nights. And then also one of the latter day Die Hard movies was just some random action movie. Yeah, and they were like, oh, just make him John McClane.
Yeah, just change him to John McClane, yeah. And that's fine. It'll work.
That's crazy. I mean, they also did that with fucking Super Mario 2.
Oh, the video game, yeah.
What was that?
It was like some Japanese game that had nothing to do with...
it's like Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah.
Why was Super Mario World such a popular, great game that never had an actual sequel that was actually good and successful? Because wasn't it just like immediately like Super Mario World 2, like Yoshi's World or something?
Yeah, Yoshi's Island, yeah.
It's hard to play that.
Yeah. Yoshi's Island was not as fun.
Yeah.
What do you give it?
10 out of 10.
Okay.
People worked hard on it.
Yeah.
I mean, people were,
You got to admit, people worked hard on these things, and that's why they're so good.
Yeah. That would be, I would love to have a film critic career where you go, man, I give it two thumbs up. These things are hard to make. I mean, I know people are not liking it, but literally go try and make one. They're hard.
It's hard to do this, King, and you got to respect it. So perfect score again.
You could do that as a food critic as well. This restaurant, I got actually really, really sick after I ate there, but
No wonder I
got to make stuff. I don't know how to make sea bass.
Is there any film critic out there that is like Roger and Ebert?
Like the new Roger and Ebert? Roger and
I think kind of the problem.
Oh yeah, I forgot. That's his. What was it? What's the fucking show?
Siskel and Ebert.
Siskel.
Well, you got Lights Action Jackson or whatever. Lights Action Jackson.
Love it.
You got that little guy.
Oh, and then the YouTubers. I forgot. We do have that.
It's all YouTubers.
But the YouTubers are always like fans of things.
Always have their fucking pop toys.
They have their toys in the bag.
Yeah, you get to see all their Funko
their
Pops.
Captain America shield and their Thanos glove in the background of all their interviews.
That's crazy. How did that get so popular?
How did it become that nerds that like toys are in charge?
Exactly.
That's crazy to think about.
They're dorks. I have a leather jacket and I'm not in charge.
Right.
You could whoop their asses.
I could
basically
kick ass. And I'm not even in charge of basically anything.
Right.
Well, you're in charge of making your own albums.
I'm in charge of making my own albums to an extent.
Right.
Do you have a boss?
And you do have a Walter White, a Funko Pop.
And I do. And I have a big Heisenberg bumper sticker. It's a decal over my back window here. It just says, say my name, Heisenberg. That was something I loved about Oppenheimer, that Heisenberg was in it.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh, Heisenberg's in it?
Heisenberg's in it. He works for the Nazis, actually.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No.
Which made me think, is that where they got that from?
Yeah, I think it is.
The Nazi?
I mean, there's a... there's like a same guy in that we were taught about in Alabama, who's like a straight up Nazi who like who worked in Huntsville, Alabama, who like created fucking rockets. Let me see who he is. Rod, say something.
Is it Wernher von Braun?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. This is Rod's specialty. not in a good way.
No, I just remember it because in a bunch of classes in high school, like science classes, we would watch the movie. Is it Hunt for Red October?
Yeah,
where he gets obsessed. He wants to make a rocket.
Is that what that movie's about?
Maybe I'm thinking the wrong one.
Isn't that movie about a submarine?
No, I'm thinking the wrong movie. What's it called?
Is this?
It's a rocket movie. It's like one of those movies that's like semi-educational, so your science class, they play it for you all the time.
Right.
It's that movie. There's Gattaca.
That's like, for me, it was like Flubber. Like, this is kind of scientific.
It is scientific.
You don't mind if I put it on?
What, you think Gattaca's scientific? No.
Yeah, Gattaca.
Science fiction.
We definitely watched Gattaca in my science class.
That doesn't make sense.
Are you talking about the one where the Soviet...
It's not a submarine movie. I can't remember what it's called.
But it has to do with rockets?
It has to do with rockets. Okay. And it's about... They see they make a big deal about seeing the first satellite. Uh-huh. And then the one kid is like, I'm going to make a rocket. And his dad is like, you're not going to make a rocket. You're going to work here with me in the dirt. You're going to go work in the...
And did he have a problem with that?
You're going to work in the coal mine with me. You're not going to college.
Right.
One of my favorite types of movies.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, gang. We give that and everything else we saw 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's hard to make.
Anything you want to say? They're really hard to make. So, anything you want to say about your album before we leave?
10 songs. 6 hours long.
Can you believe it?
Instrumental. Completely great. Instrumental.
Great.
Didn't play guitar on it.
Great.
It's actually just about 6 hours of just drum takes.
So there's a track in there, 3 hours long. Sounds like a fucking box of spoons tipping over.
That's exactly what it was.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can hear them kind of slowly shifting, and then during the last... about hour of the song, we slowed it down really slow when it hits the ground, so it's just like one long...
Sound like Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Originally, it was going to be a score for Oppenheimer,
Sometimes the movie was so loud, I thought I was going to have hearing problems afterwards.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Yeah, it was too loud.
But, anywho, gang. You ever seen a movie that's too quiet, though? Barbie was too quiet. Maybe that's why I didn't like it.
I saw the new animated Spider-Man movie. It was too quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Way prefer too loud than too quiet.
Yeah.
Anywho, gang, that's been the Opie Anthony Show on SiriusXM.
Check out Jim Norton's new album.
Check out Jim.
I'm Opie.
I'm Opie, of course. And
I'm the other guy.
I'm Jim. Drooper. What's his name?
Jim Norton.
Jim Norton. And I like fucking prostitutes.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
That's me, Jim Norton. That's my style.
Yeah. First thing I learned about him is he loves piss.
Oh, yeah. He's a piss freak.
Oh.
Hey, gang. Thanks for listening. Bye.